So this year we've been looking at the awe of God. We've been on a journey. It started in January. We shifted in February to his pure love. Then we looked at the sun in March. The after effect, talking about what changes after the resurrection, what changes after his coming into our heart. Last month, we looked inside the kingdom. We're beginning to dig in to what this new life in Christ is all about. This month, we'll be looking at God from a different perspective, his upside-down kingdom, his opposite way. You might have heard us talk about moving in the opposite direction. It's a big thing when things are against you and you want to lash out. Move in the opposite direction. It's all about learning to live in awe of this kingdom and understanding his ways rather than the world's ways. Today I want to talk about focus factor. It involves shifting our focus to see his opposite direction. I've been piecing this message together since March of last year. Excuse me, I get a little emotional because the reason is because of my granddaughter. I've been watching her as she's been developing, and I learned a lot of lessons from her. Sometimes we think God's voice is like a James Earl Jones, deep and powerful, thundering like a Charlton Heston. Sometimes God's voice is like a little girl, soft, whispering. For those of you who don't know, our granddaughter, Hannah, was born with cerebral palsy. She was a preemie, born at 28 weeks. 2.5 pounds. Did I get that right? 2.5 pounds? Tiny little thing. It's left her with some complications. There could have been a ton more, and praise God there aren't. But her legs didn't function like your legs. And naturally, for all of us, when we begin to move, our leg muscles contract and relax, and that allows us to do all those things. Just standing here, whether I'm aware of it or not, because it's all subconscious, my leg muscles are constantly moving, keeping me balanced. Otherwise, I would fall over like a cup on a stick, you know? Hers didn't do that. She had what's called spastic cerebral palsy. And so as a result, she's been in physical therapy all her life. One doctor said she'll never walk. Her physical therapist, her family, and her church said, "We'll see about that." Right, Ken? We'll see about that. She wears braces to train the muscles and guide bone development. I think there's a spiritual message in that. We need structure in our lives to guide our development. It's part of why you're here, to help you with that structure. She does daily exercises to stretch and strengthen those muscles. That sounds like a whole nother message on how we need daily exercise to stretch and strengthen our spiritual muscles. But I won't get off into all of that today. From watching her and working with her, I've learned a few things. One of the things is that this physical world is but a shadow of the real world, the spiritual world. This tangible, material world we experience with our senses is merely an imperfect reflection of a deeper, higher, and more permanent reality. So I began to look at things physical from a spiritual perspective. Well, one of the things I noticed is that, you know, sometimes life throws you a curve. And it just doesn't seem fair. I got news for you. Life is not fair. And no one said it would be. I heard someone say once, fair is a place you go to make poor food choices and wide questionable attractions. But take heart, Jesus is always there to help us. The joy we have as believers comes from the knowledge that Jesus has already obtained the ultimate victory over both the physical and the spiritual worlds. And there's absolutely nothing in this world that can undo that. So with that, I'm going to jump into what was the working title of Lessons from Hannah. But work with me. When I speak of physical things, look also for the spiritual parallel. Adjust your focus and watch for his opposite way. That brings us to lesson one. Life isn't fair. Deal with it. John 16:33 says, I've told you these things. This is Jesus speaking. I have told you these things so that you can have peace in me. This world, in this world you will have troubles, but be brave. I have defeated the world. Jesus is telling us right off, we're going to face problems. But he's not forsaken us. And rest assured, he never will. Life may not be fair, but God always is. Hannah operates with this attitude she got from her mother, who got from her grandmother. It is what it is. It is what it is. You can fuss and fume and complain about it, but it is what it is. Deal with it. Brings us to lesson two. Sometimes you fall. Get back up. I remember celebrating when Hannah could stand for 10 seconds without holding on to something. 10 seconds. That was a huge milestone back then. Then she finally got to where she could walk and take a few meager steps. One of the first things that her physical therapist taught her was how to stand up in the middle of the floor when there's nothing to get a hold of. Can you do that? I have trouble with that anymore. I got to crawl over to where I can get a hold of something and pull myself back up. But the therapist taught her how to stand up in the middle of the floor. That was part of her learning independence. Sometimes you fall. Get back up. Look at Proverbs 24, 16 through 18. Most of the verses are from the easy-to-read version this morning. Good people might fall again and again, but they always get up. It's the wicked who are defeated by their troubles. We all fall sometimes. It might be physical, it might be spiritual, or it might be both. But God is there to pick us back up, set us on our feet again, if we'll look to him. Great is his faithfulness. Doug didn't know this when he picked that song. Great is his faithfulness. He's always there. Psalm 145, verse 14 says, the Lord lifts up the people who have fallen. He helps those who are in trouble. Yeah, you're going to fall. Everybody does. Get back up. God will help you back up. We also need to learn, like Hannah, that we can get back up. Our nature, or at least my nature, was to pick Hannah up when she fell. Those of you who watched her around here running with the kids, she falls down. And I watch so many of you go, oh, goodness, is she okay? And you go to pick her up. Well, I've learned something different Becky told me once, stop enabling her. Was she being mean? Nah. She knew her daughter needed to learn independence. And she was helping her to learn that. The struggle to get back up was part of the learning process. Speaking of falling, that takes us to lesson three. When you fall, protect your head. Because of her balance limitations, Hannah falls a lot. Not as much as she used to, but she used to fall a lot. But one of the things she learned early on was to tuck and roll. Protect her head from bouncing off the floor, because that hurt. So when she'd start to go down, she'd curl, go down on her back, and roll over. Or catch herself with her hands. Her upper body strength got really good. I can't fall over and catch myself with my hands. I'll break both my hands. But she could catch herself and lower herself down carefully so she didn't bang her head. As Christians, we need to learn to protect our head when we fall. Our mind, specifically. We need to stay focused. The enemy loves to attack us in our mind. He's constantly wanting to pick at your thoughts. Jack calls him the chirper. He's always chirping in your ear, trying to fill your head with contrary thoughts. But Jesus provided us a helmet of salvation. You may be familiar with Ephesians 6:17. It's part of the armor of God chapter that talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6:17 says, accept God's salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit. That sword is the teaching of God. The helmet is a defensive weapon, protects the head. The sword is an offensive weapon to slash and stab and cut and keep away. We need both. We need defense and we need offense. The offense, the Word of God. We need that Word of God to help protect our mind. Now, I know you've probably heard that armor of God lesson many times, and like I did, but what I found interesting was that in Isaiah 59, verse 17, I'm going to shift over to the New Living Translation. It says he is talking about the Lord. This chapter is talking about the coming Messiah. You know who the Messiah is, right? That's our Jesus. It's talking about the coming Messiah, and it says he, the Lord, put on righteousness as his body armor. Well, that makes sense. And placed the helmet of salvation on his head. What? Why would Jesus need a helmet of salvation? Do you find that odd? I had to ponder that one for a bit. And then I remembered one of the first things that happened to Jesus after his baptism was he was led out into the wilderness. And that old chirper was out there for 40 days. And what was he doing? Chirping away, trying to attack his mind. And what did Jesus do? Helmet of salvation. The Word of God. Every time the enemy would say this, Jesus would say, you got that wrong. This is what the Bible says. And the enemy would say, well, do this. No, no, no. But this is what God says. And I could just see Jesus saying, I know what that says. I wrote the book. Lesson four. If you get hurt, get hugs. Sometimes you just need a hug. Hugs give you the assurance that you're loved and everything's going to be okay. Come to think of it, every day we need hugs. We yearn for love and acceptance. We look to family and friends to extend it to us, and sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're the problem. Hugs have many positive effects. It's been proven that hugs can reduce stress and pain. When people hug, their bodies release oxytocin. They have done studies and shown that a 20-second hug can release enough oxytocin to make people physically feel better. Every mother's known this. When the little one falls and gets a boo-boo, what do? Wrap them in your arms, give them a kiss and a hug, and miraculously, they're fixed, and on they go. Hugs can also reduce blood pressure, heart rate, and may even protect against illness. You weren't getting enough hugs. That was the problem. Need more hugs to block this illness. Give and get hugs, especially when you get hurt. While it's necessary to have people who will affirm us with loving words and physical hugs, we have to remember to look to the source of love and receive a hug from heaven. Kim calls it spooning with Jesus. Sometimes you just need to get in a good hug with Jesus. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Father who is full of mercy, the God of all comfort." Hugs are not just for when you're hurting. That was lesson 5. Give hugs. Everybody needs them. Hannah's a good hugger. She loves hugs. Since she was wee little, she's been a good hugger. Life is hard. Living it alone is much harder. God designed that we live in community, that we love one another. That's what set the New Testament church apart. In John 13, 34 to 35, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "I give you a new command, love each other. You must love each other just as I loved you. All people will know that you are my followers if you love each other." We need to love each other. You guys are good at it. I come in here Sunday morning and I see hugging going on all over the place. And it just blesses my heart. Hugging is good. My grandkids come in, they come running up for a hug. I watched Doug the other week. His grandkids didn't come in and give him a hug. You know what he did? He went looking for them. Found him over hanging out in the River Kids room and got his hugs. That's part of our daily. 2 Corinthians 13, 11 through 13. This time we're reading from the Message translation. Paul is summing up some stuff that he's been talking to the Corinthians. And he says, "That's about it, my friends. Be cheerful. Keep things in good repair. Keep your spirits up. Think in harmony. Be agreeable. Do all that, and the God of love and peace will be with you for sure." And then he tacks this on. "Greet one another with a holy embrace." Give hugs. Give hugs. I think, although the Bible doesn't record, I think Jesus gave hugs. I bet those disciples hugged a lot. 3 things I know about Jesus. He gives hugs, he brings snacks, and he takes naps. I like all 3. But sometimes life is more than you can handle. Lesson 6, get help if you need it. Say thank you when you get it. Psalm 46, verse 1 from the International Children's Bible says, "God is our protection and our strength. He always helps in times of trouble." And then Psalm 145, 18 and 21 says, "The Lord is near to everyone who sincerely calls to him for help. I will praise the Lord." That's saying thank you. "Let everyone praise his holy name forever and ever." It's okay to need help. But don't get this POTUS syndrome where you think, everybody's got to help you. We were somewhere, Judy and I were, and this gal said to us, she had a handicap, and she wanted us to sit there or move a chair or do something. She said, "You have to, it's the law." She had come to expect that everybody accommodated her. Don't be that person. Lesson 7, figure it out. That's a little tougher. I remember when Hannah was just starting to crawl, we had a therapist that would come to the house and help her work on mobility and dexterity and movement and so on, would do stretching exercises with her little stiff legs. So one day she was trying to crawl over and get up into her little rocking chair. Now, for most kids at that age, they would have gone over, stood up, turned around, and sat down. Well, she couldn't do that. So she crawled using her arms and pulled herself up into the chair. Problem is, she's facing the wrong direction. And she had these little legs that didn't cooperate. But she worked at it and worked at it and worked at it. And the therapist said, "Look at her. Her little mind is working hard to figure out how to get her body to move so she can turn around and sit down." The next thing she said struck me. She said, "She's going to be a real problem solver." And that's been it. Figure it out. May not work the way you thought it was going to. Figure it out. Figuring out doesn't mean you have to do it all on your own. God will guide us if we keep our minds focused on Him. When we trust God in everything, He's well able to guide us and direct our every thought. Even the small, mundane decisions become easier if we allow Him to guide us. And not only that, it's good practice, because then when the hard things come, we're already practiced in listening and hearing His voice. Even when it comes like a little girl instead of this booming, thundering voice that we were expecting. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, "Trust the Lord completely and don't depend on your own knowledge. With every step you take, think about what He wants, and He will help you go the right way." Let me say that again. Figuring it out doesn't mean we're totally on our own. God wants to guide us if we keep our mind focused on what He wants. Problem is, we have listened to too many lies from the enemy or the world, maybe one and the same, that say this is the way things should operate, when God says, "Nah, that's your way. My way is opposite from that. You need to go this way." Just saying. Lesson 8. There's only 10 of them, so you can relax. Sometimes we are just, so far, there's only 10. Sometimes things are just hard. Keep trying. I would help Hannah with her stretching and strengthening exercises. Some of them were really hard. Donkey kicks are hard, where you're down on your hands and knees and you kick your leg back this way as high as you can. Those were hard. I tried to do some of them with her, and I couldn't keep up. She'd tell me, "Some things are just hard. You have to keep trying." Galatians 6, 9, "We must not become tired of doing good. We will receive our harvest of eternal life at the right time. We must not give up." That leads us to number 9. Say, "I can do it more than I can't." Philippians 4:13, again from the International Children's Bible, says, I can do all things through Christ because he gives me strength. Did you know that the Apostle Paul wrote this from prison? Yeah. From his perspective, he could endure hardship and prison, and he turned that awful place into a writer's nook and wrote much of the New Testament. Like Paul, we can rise above our circumstances to do great things, but not if we lose focus and allow ourselves to wallow in self-pity. We have one of those play sets in the backyard, you know, with the swings and a slide. It's got one of them curly slide things and a ladder to get up into the little playhouse part, and on the backside is a rock wall. I remember Hannah wanting to climb that rock wall. And I said, honey, that's going to be too hard for you. Yeah. She looked at me, said, I can do it. It took her a long time. But she climbed the rock wall. Yeah. And boy, was she proud. She sat up there on the top just beaming. I did it, I did it, I did it. Yes, she did. Look at Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. This time again from the Message Bible. I find this one interesting, just the wording of it. When I'm preparing, I go through a lot of the translations to find the wording that says it the way I'm feeling it, you know. Strip down, start running, never quit. No extra spiritual fat. No parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he'd never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish line, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the presence of honor right alongside God. Jesus kept his focus. When that enemy at the beginning was taunting him in the desert to take a different position, take an easier route, to cheapen the experience, Jesus said, nope, my finish line is out there. I'm going there. And he kept his eyes focused on the finish line and endured horrible things to sit at the right hand of the Father. Lesson 10. You may do things differently. That's okay. God made each of us different and unique. We can choose to use our uniqueness to enhance our lives and those around us, or to drive a wedge between us. I find it so sad that the world seems to be bent on driving the wedge anymore. I find it appalling that the people who are demanding my tolerance of them are intolerant of me and my ways. Try not to get political, but think about it. We need to live such a way that we honor and encourage one another. Yeah, you might be different. That's okay. Maybe you have something to offer to me that I haven't seen because you see the life from a different perspective. Romans 12:3 says, God has given me a special gift. And that's why I have something to say to each of you. Don't think that you are better than you really are. You must see yourself just as you are. Decide what you are by faith in God, by the faith God has given us. Keep your focus positive. I hope these lessons will cause you to think about what God is teaching you through the daily events of your life, the struggles that you face. You will face challenges. You will lose your balance, stumble, and fall. That's life. Fix your focus. I heard twice this week from two different sources after I had prepped this next phrase, and it struck me. It's like, well, okay, God, I guess I understand what you're saying. Whatever has your attention, whatever's captured your attention, governs your direction. Whatever captures your attention governs your direction. When I was starting to learn to drive, I remember clearly, we're going down the road and there was something off in the field over here. And I was looking at that. Guess what the car was doing? And Dad said, eyes on the road, focus. You can't look over there or you'll drive over there. Physical example. But spiritual reality, fix your focus. Don't look at all this nonsense the world is trying to direct your attention to, because you'll be drawn to it. The more you think about, I'm not going to eat that ice cream that's in the freezer, the more you find yourself standing in front of the freezer door. Whatever captures your attention governs your direction. Stay focused on Jesus. Get up, try again, and you'll be unstoppable. There's a lot up there. If you want to take a picture of it and blow it up so you can read it later, I left the scripture references there to help you. Go back and read them and read around them. But life isn't fair. Deal with it. Sometimes you fall, get back up. When you fall, protect your head. If you get hurt, get hugs. Give hugs. Everybody needs them. Get help and say thank you. Figure it out. Don't wait for someone to hand it to you. Figure it out. You don't have to do it all on your own. God will help you. Others will help you. Sometimes, some things are just hard. Keep trying. That one still rings in my ears. One of the exercises Hannah does right now is she backs up to the wall, she puts a stuffy or a ball between her legs, she has a band around her legs, and she does squats all the way down and back up, 30 of them. Judy and I tried to do that with her Friday. I hurt all day Saturday. Those are hard. Some things are hard, just keep trying. Say I can do it more than I can. Don't make too many excuses for yourself. You may do things differently. That's okay. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your focus on him. That's my lessons from Hannah. She's so excited I was talking about her today. She's been telling everybody. Papa's talking about me today. Next week, we're going to continue this opposite way with the power factor. So Sandy's going to lead us into power. Okay. We have coffee and bagels out there. If you're giving, the boxes are there and out front. And you can do it online. And you can take a picture of the little QR code for those of you smart people. And it'll take you right to the site. You've been a great bunch. I hope that you've learned something from Hannah that will help you in your daily walk. And God bless you. Have a great day.